I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I realised the importance of self-care. Whether that's a 5 kilometre run, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5 minute dip in the sea, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded dermocosmetic brand with 90 years of skincare expertise. Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation. Powered by active ingredients, product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in pharmacies nationwide. Hello, I hope you had a lovely week. I am actually back running this week and it's given me such a boost. I suppose something I've noticed over the last few years is that when things get tough or I feel a little bit down in the dumps, often my self-care is one of the first things to go out the window. And I find it hard to get out and exercise or challenge myself. But I'm so aware of this now and I know how to get myself through those times. So it felt so good to get back out there this week and do something for myself. I have been waiting a very long time to have Jerry Hussey on my podcast. I believe in timing so much. And recently, I have really felt like it's the right time. Also known as the Soul Coach, I'm sure lots of you know who Jerry is. He talks to me today about love, fear, anxiety, how we can change the narrative in our head, how to connect with what's really important, how we can grow and learn, how we can win the day by changing what we do in the first 15 minutes of the morning, how we can take the leap we've always wanted to, how we can break the toxic addiction to our phones, and how we can give back to ourselves. Since this chat, I've changed my morning routine. I've learned so much from Jerry, and I hope that you do too. Jerry, I am so excited to welcome you to the Good Glow podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I've been so excited for this conversation. And I suppose I just wanted to start with the truth about how I've been feeling in 21. And that is that, first of all, I didn't expect us to open the year in a lockdown. I think we all thought we might be getting our lives back by the summer. And there's a sense, I suppose, of disappointment around at the moment that things may not go back to normal as quick as we would have wanted. What is your advice to people who may be feeling that dread or that disappointment? It's not a great way to start the year.
It's not a great way to start the year. However, I think we need to own our own emotion and we need to accept it with kindness. There's a danger nowadays that everybody's trying to be upbeat, everybody's trying to be focused, everybody's trying to be, super person. And I think every emotion, so I have this belief that there's no such thing as a negative emotion. So everything the body, everything the mind sends us is simply information. So your emotions are neither negative or positive. They're simply information. So the first thing I would do is, accept and own your emotion. It's absolutely okay to be sad. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be angry. And it's okay to be happy. So the first thing I would say is own your own emotion. And then secondly, ask, what's actually driving this emotion? So maybe you might be angry at the decision makers, angry at policy. But maybe deep down, your angry might be that you're not getting to see your parents. Maybe your anger might be that you'd made a decision that is now looking like a bad decision. So I would say get to the root cause of the emotion. Then ask yourself, is this emotion that I want to carry with me for the rest of the year or not? And then realize that while every emotion is good information and no emotion should be resisted or rejected, but also know that every emotion can be changed. So what's the emotion I'm feeling? Allow yourself to feel it. What's the root cause of the emotion? Get to the root cause of it. is this an emotion I'd like to stay with, or do I wish to change it?
And how do you let that go? I know a huge part of my journey was acceptance and acknowledgement. I knew that was the first step that I really had to overcome in order to heal. But if you, you know, like you say, you recognize the emotions you're feeling, what do you do next?
I think for everybody, and, you know, the one wish I have for everybody is that we'd all educate ourselves a little bit around what is the human being. So we spend so much time thinking about the world, the universe, the lockdown, COVID numbers. But when you ask people, you know, about themselves, like, can you describe how the human brain works? Most people don't. Do you understand how your nervous system works? Most people don't. Do you know the power of the breath in releasing toxins from the body and lowering acidity in the body? No. It is amazing what we don't know about ourselves. So the first thing I would say is understand that we human beings, we exist on three levels. One is physical, the second is chemical, and the third is electrical. So there's no doubt about that. That's scientifically proven that we are a bundle of matter, electricity, and chemicals. Our central nervous system then consists of our brain or spinal cord, and that is inside our body, that is inside our skull. So you're, in order to feel anxious, to feel depressed, to feel giddy, to feel happy, to feel excited, it needs your central nervous system to be responding to something. Now, what we know is the central nervous system in the brain is not responding to the outside world because it can't see it. So your spinal cord, your central nervous system, cannot see the outside world. So the only thing it can respond to is your thoughts and the things you say about the outside world. So what's the starting point? The starting point is understanding what anxiety is. It's an overwhelmed central nervous system. Understand that we get to control our nervous system. Our central nervous system does not control us. We can take control through the power of the breath, through things like meditation, through things like yoga. We get to control our thoughts and our emotions. So I think that's the first step, is that while there's lots of stuff happening outside of us, and some of that is stuff we wouldn't want and we didn't predict, at the same time, your outer world and your inner world are not the same. And we're defined not by what happens outside of us, but by how we choose to respond on the inside. So understand what your inner world is, and we can go into this in more detail if you want. Understand a little bit more about how your central nervous system works, the link between the brain and the gut, the link between the words you use and the emotions you feel, and understand that by changing your emotion, by shifting your physiology, by shifting the things you think about, and by adding in a few practices every day, you start to expand and deepen that inner world. And when you expand and deepen the inner world, the outer world has less of an impact on you then.
That's where self-care comes into the equation. And you live a beautifully full life. You have lots of techniques that you use to keep yourself well. So when you wake up in the morning, Jerry, I don't suppose you're running straight to Twitter to check out news about COVID or turning to things like that seem to be dragging people down at the moment. So what sort of self-care techniques do you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, I live a life like everybody else. So what it looks like from the outside, I'm not sure, but I can promise you that I experience every human emotion going from fear, anxiety, love, passion, self-doubt. I experience all of those. But by the work I've done over the last 20, 25 years on myself, while I get to experience those emotions, I get to select which ones I act upon. And I think that's the gift. So, you know, no matter how enlightened or no matter how positive or no matter what techniques you have, I don't think you can stop yourself from getting anxious or fearful at times. But you can stop them emotions from running your life. So when I wake up in the morning, and think of sport. If you were playing the biggest game of your life, you wouldn't dream of just rocking up to the stadium and no warm up, no preparation, just going in and playing. So we know in sport that a warm-up is important. So for me, I believe that every lifetime is a day and every day is a lifetime. The Life of Jerry Hussey, I've no idea how long that is. I do know that I'm not my past, and I do know I'm not my future because it hasn't arrived yet. So the only life I have is this moment today. So each morning I ask myself, today I remind myself, today is a day I've never lived before. It's a day I'll never get again. What's the emotion I would like to experience today, and who is the person I'd like to be? So I ask myself some simple questions. I think about then, I visualize the person that I'd like to be. So can I see myself? Can I see the body language that I'd like to express today? Can I hear the conversations that I want to be part of? The conversations that I'm not going to get caught up in? Can I see the energy that I want to have in my life today? Then sometimes I might express some gratitude. Or I would ask myself, what emotion am I feeling? So sometimes I'm feeling tired. Sometimes I'm feeling scared. So depending on the emotion, I have an action. So if I'm feeling a bit tired, I might get up. And because I love boxing, I might move around a bit of music and shadow box in front of the mirror and pretend I'm boxing Floyd Mayweather. And I'm just moving the body. Because remember I said, in order to feel different, you have to move the central nervous system. So you have to shift yourself physiologically, physically, chemically, and emotionally. So moving is good. So sometimes I need good movement to get myself up. But if I wake up in the morning and I feel anxious, then it might be time to sit on my yoga mat. It might be time to meditate. It might be time to pray and to lower the central nervous system. So that's really as simple as my morning routines is. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. But I would never dream of waking up and looking into the phone. I would never dream of waking up and starting to think about work. I would wake up and I think if you can win the first 15 minutes of the morning, that kind of decides the first hour, and the first hour decides a lot of the day. If you can win that first hour, I think you've mastered the day already.
It's so interesting because I think when you give to yourself, everything changes. And for so many years, I was giving every part of myself, all my energy. I was projecting it outwards and keeping nothing for myself. So I think it's really interesting what you say there, that in the morning you're filling up your own cup before you go out into the world and give your energy elsewhere. I think it's a really important message.
And I think it's also about self-care. Like for me, I don't believe in a self. So spiritually, I believe when you dissolve the self, I think we're all expressions of each other. So like in order for me to be me, it took my mum and dad to give birth. My mum and dad met in the most random of circumstances. So the chance of me being born, I think they say, is one in a trillion. So that was a gift. It took my mum and dad, because I grew up in a house with eight kids, they had to work extremely hard, to earn the money to keep us fed, to get us to school. So I got educated. I got life as a gift from my parents. Then you move on. It's your lecturers, your teachers that inform you, that I learned, people that wrote the books that I read. Then I met Miriam, who transformed my life. So every morning I wake up, if I take all the pieces that I owe from my parents out, and all the things that Miriam has given me, if I take away all the ideas that I've read in somebody else's book, if I take away all I've learned from my friends, if I've taken all away, what's left? And then for me, the last step is, because I believe that every single human being is part of the divine creation, I believe that every single one of us is a gift of the divine. You know, I owe everything I have to something other than myself. So when you take care of this, when I take care of this body and this mind, I'm only doing justice and I'm only saying thank you to all the people that have minded me, nourished me. I'm only giving God back the gift. And I think, imagine if, George, you came to my house and you brought a lovely gift. And whatever that gift was, can you imagine if you came back a week later and it was thrown in the corner, not minded, not dusted, not cleaned? I think each of us have been given a gift, whether it's, you can say, by God or a gift from our parents. And we owe it not just to ourselves, but we are special. People have put time and effort into us. Our ideas are important. Our health is important. And lots of people want us to be happy. The question is, Do you want yourself to be happy? And do you want yourself to be healthy? So the question is, what's the energy that I can share today? So if I can put more happiness into the universe, then there's more happiness in the universe. And if there's more happiness in the universe, then I'm more likely to be happy. But if I put anger into the universe, then I'm increasing the amount of anger in it, in the world. And if there's more anger in the world, then I'm more likely to be angry. So as walking, talking energy fields, we have to understand that everything we give out, we are more likely to live in a world of that. And when we see ourselves as interconnected beings, so that everything I say about you is a reflection of me, everything I do to you is a reflection of me, then I want you to be as happy as you can be, because then in your happiness, there is happiness for me to take on. And I just think if we began to see the world as connected and understood that one of the best ways you can be happy is to nourish you and nourish other people.
I've been learning a lot about community and love and how that can keep you well as the food on your plate. I think at the moment we all might feel a little bit lonely, and we know that staying connected and being loved and giving love keeps us well. How important do you think that is to our lives?
I think the only reason we live is to love. I don't know if there's any other purpose. My purpose is not to buy a house or buy a car. They're not nice tasks that you do in life. But the purpose is to experience love. And I think there's lots of creatures in the world, the moon, trees. There's lots of things in the created world that don't get to experience. We as human beings have the gift of consciousness. And that gift of consciousness enables us to feel loved. We are one part of the universe that gets to experience love. And I think when you break it all down and you ask people, you know, what is it that you really want in life? I think there's only two things that we want. The first thing is, I want to feel enough. When I look in the mirror, I want to be proud of the person I see looking back. I want to love the person that I am exactly as I am. I want to feel enough. And the second is, I want to be loved. And when we break it all down, I don't think there's any human being that doesn't actually want those two things. So the first thing is, can I love myself? And not just can I love myself when I become somebody, when I lose weight, when I get a promotion. Can you love yourself exactly as you are right now? And the second part then is, can you allow yourself to be loved? A lot of people find it hard to let people in, because if we don't believe we're good enough, we might be afraid that if someone sees us as we truly are, that we won't be enough. So sometimes the most terrifying thing in the world is to allow yourself to be loved by another for exactly as you are. And that involves vulnerability. It involves opening your heart and soul and allowing people to see the real you. It's a long-winded answer to your question, Georgie, but I think love, self-acceptance and inner peace is the ultimate gift in life. It's the gift that only we can give ourselves. They say there's two human emotions, love and fear. I think there's actually only one emotion, which is love. And I think the absence of love is fear. And in a world where we have so much fear, so much anxiety, I think we also have a lack of self-care, a lack of self-acceptance, a lack of self-love, where people look in the mirror and they find it very hard to accept, to love and to be inspired by the person they see looking back.
When you say, you know, deep down, what we all long for is to be loved and to be with our families. And I think we have learned that through 2020. But how do we so easily get distracted with things that don't matter, like scrolling on our phone instead of being present, or, you know, up all hours of the night worried about things that maybe shouldn't keep us up at night? Why are we so easily distracted?
I think, again, it's simply understanding how the human nervous system works. So, for instance, we have a sympathetic nervous system and a parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight. So that's adrenaline, it's cortisol, it's increased heart rate. And we need that at times to get up, to get active, particularly when we're being chased by bears. So we need to be in that. But then we have the parasympathetic nervous system, which is around rest, digest, recovery, healing. And every part of your body has the ability not just to heal itself, but to renew itself. Every cell in your body is renewing itself all the time. So there's no part of your physical body that is more than 3, 4, 5 years old, which is, for some people, is an extraordinary fact. But however, when we start getting into the sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, we can actually get addicted to our own chemicals. We get addicted to our own brain chemicals. So cortisol and adrenaline become addictive. And just like any drug, then the more we get is the more we become desensitized to it. So then we need more of it. So we wake up in the morning, the body realizes, holy God, I've been asleep all night. There's no cortisol in my system. I need cortisol. And they say, quick, George, you pick up your phone, go to Sky News, go to the Joe Duffy Show, because they're definitely going to give you something to worry about. So we become addicted neurochemically and physiologically and biologically. We actually get addicted to stress. But the good news is we can break the addiction by putting the phone beyond use. People say, I find it hard. Put your phone in a box with a key, give the key to somebody and say, do not give me that key for 60 minutes. We can break the addiction. Meditation, visualization, every addiction can be broken. So the brain, when we learn how to balance the central nervous system, we can get into the sympathetic nervous system when we need, and we can be up and focused and alert. And then through as simple as 5 deep breaths, believe it or not, 5 deep breaths is proven to switch us from sympathetic to parasympathetic. So it's easy to be distracted, Georgie. It's easy to spend the rest of your life distracted. But the good news is it's actually as easy to relearn the habit of being mindful, being present. And it's simply understanding the central nervous system and understanding the chemicals and neurochemicals of the body. And when we get that understanding, then we get to manage them.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you about Vichy's iconic Hydration Serum Mineral 89. Enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and rich in 15 minerals essential to skin health. This beautifully light gel serum gives your skin immediate hydration and glow. Think of it as a daily multi-mineral for your skin. The perfect first step in any skincare routine, suitable for all skin types. It can be used every morning and or night after cleansing your skin. For a 25% discount on Mineral 89 50ml or 75ml, use the discount code GOODGLOW25 on marspharmacy.ie. The offer is available on online purchases only until midnight, February 28th. Now, back to my conversation.
When I spoke to Miriam on my podcast, she spoke about fight or flight mode, the damage that stress can do, and the importance of getting into rest, digest and repair mode. And that was a new concept to me, I suppose. I always wore stress like a badge of honor, and I'd never heard of rest, digest and repair. So in your work, are you coming across lots of people that this isn't even on their radar?
You know, at the start of the podcast, Georgie, I said, it's amazing what we don't know. I really believe that most of us stop one question short of a major breakthrough. Now, what do I mean by that? If you said to most people, how does the tide move? They'll say, oh, the moon moves it. But if you go one question further and said, how exactly? Some people don't know. Do you know that the sun moves the tide as well? Some people don't know. If you ask people, where are your adrenal glands? What is your gut? What's the difference in a hormone and a digestive enzyme? It's amazing what we don't know, Georgie. Because we've gone to a school that has taught us about oxbow lakes, about things outside of ourselves. So, yeah, when I started talking, I was doing this 25 years ago. 20 years ago, I used to have the Irish boxing team meditating every day, talking about the law of attraction and quantum physics. And I still go to people and it's like, they don't know we have a parasympathetic nervous system. They don't know that we are energy. If you ask most people, how does your central nervous system work? They don't really know. If most people are still shocked when they understand that the gut is actually your second brain. And that the gut has a mind of its own. And I think now what the pandemic has given us, it is the gift of beginning to take personal responsibility for your health and not outsourcing your health or happiness to the GP. The doctor has me on antibiotics. Is it the doctor that has you on antibiotics or your lifestyle? We can't outsource our happiness and we can't outsource our health. And the start, the beginning to manage your health, manage your mental fitness, manage your well-being, manage your spirituality is simply beginning to ask different questions and beginning to nourish yourself in how amazing your mind and body is. And your central nervous system is the most powerful pharmacy in the world. If you allow it to be what it's meant to be and do what it's meant to do. But if you're killing it with processed food, with caffeine, you're actually, you have at your disposal the most powerful pharmacist in the world, but you're not allowing it to do what it's meant to do.
When you're speaking, Jerry, I'm thinking of Tom Brady. I'm sure you're familiar with Tom Brady and you're so into sport. And for me, I'm not into American football, but I'm into Tom Brady because I listen to a lot of things that he talks about. I listen to a lot of podcasts he's on. And one that I listened to recently, he was saying, you know, when you're scrolling on your phone, actually, what is that taking away from? What are you not making time for? And I think he's such a good example on how, you know, you can train yourself to live well. You can train yourself to be the best. It doesn't have to come naturally to you. Mm-hmm. But with time and discipline and putting your energy inwards, that you can become this great version of yourself.
Of course. And you know, in psychology, we call it neuroplasticity. What that means is the brain is changing shape all the time. So you, depending on your words, depending what you think about, depending what you say, you get to change the structure of the brain. Your brain at any given moment has the ability to build new pathways. It has the ability to change shape. It has the ability to think differently. But the first thing we have to do is understand what the brain is and understand that most of us are living in the limbic brain, which is your stress center. The limbic brain is your unconscious programs, and we're not even thinking about life. We're not actually conscious. So when I say to people, do you realize your average life expectancy is 900 months and you sleep 300? They panic. It is amazing what we don't think about. So for me, the first step is becoming conscious, awakening the conscious part of your brain and asking yourself questions like, am I happy in life? Is there enough love in my life? Asking yourself, what is the relationship I have with myself and is it healthy? Ask yourself, do I sometimes say things to myself that I wouldn't say to somebody I love and why? And ask yourself sometimes, if I continue to live the way I live, work the way I work, eat the way I eat, and experience the amount of stress I experience, what's the impact that's going to have in my life in 10 years? And I think if we all could just stop being so distracted for a few moments and become conscious, activate the conscious part of our brain, get out of subconscious programs, then once we ask the right question, we all have the answers inside. So deep down, we all know what we want in life. We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it. But that permission is the biggest piece. And the athletes that I've worked with simply give themselves permission to be world European Olympic champions.
When you go for a sea swim, I often see you down going for a swim yourself and Miriam. What does the sea do for you?
I think first and foremost, it's something that I enjoy. So for me, it's jumping off a rock. It's that sense of exhilaration. And I think before we get into the science of sea swimming, I think sometimes we get too caught up in the science of something. So does it make you feel happy? Yes. Do more of it then. So it makes me feel happy. And that's why I do it. Now, the science, of course, is there is huge research now around cold immersion therapy, cold water therapy, immersion, and its impact on the central nervous system, its ability to rebalance the central nervous system. So everything we've spoken about can be done many ways. So whether it's sea swimming or simply turning your shower to cold for the last minute of every shower, it has an amazing impact on the central nervous system. It activates a different part of the system. It activates different chemicals in the system and it awakens a new part of the brain. So for me, the science is fantastic, but really do what makes you happy. People, you know, we get caught up in the science and please never forget that at best, science is thousands of years behind existence.
when you're standing on the beach, and this happens to me all the time, that I go down and I'm standing there and I really want to get in, I know that I'll feel so much better when I'm walking out of the sea and wrapping myself up in my towel. But I just can't take the leap to get in. Why is that?
I'm not sure. I think the leap for everybody is different. And I think the biggest leap is whether starting a new job, leaving a career, jumping into the water. I think sometimes it's the fear of failure and the fear of leaving safety. So when you're on the rock and you're nice and warm, that's comfortable. And we tend, the ego, the human ego, the human subconscious mind wants familiar. It doesn't want better. It doesn't want excitement. It doesn't even want happiness. It wants familiar. Order the same coffee. Answer the phone with the same hand. Brush your teeth with the same hand. Do the same thing, and it will reward you with dopamine. So every time you do what the brain expected you to do, it hits you with dopamine. So every time you think of it, you drink the coffee. And the minute you drink the coffee, you feel better. But we know the caffeine isn't even in your system. You feel better because your brain has given you a shot of dopamine. It has nothing to do with the caffeine. So the brain rewards you for familiar. But comfort, you ask yourself in life, do I want comfort? Do I want the same old, or do I want change? Now, change is difficult. So whether it's that leap into the sea, it's that difficult decision you got to make. And sometimes you have to leap into it without knowing what the future holds. But in life, you don't always have to know what the end looks like. You don't always have to know what the next job looks like. All you got to ask is, am I happy to stay here forever? Is this me? And if the answer is no, then go. Go somewhere. Do something. So for me, that's what taking a leap is. It is leaping into the unknown, simply knowing that staying here is not for me. I am bored of this. And I can't let this just be my life. There has to be something else. And then, of course, George, when you leap, the sea holds you. So you'll always find the sea and you'll always be happy when you get out. So when you leap in life, the universe will find you. Don't worry about that. The job will find you. The only work you have to do is getting out of the familiar, getting into the unknown. And once you're in the unknown, the universe will guide you.
It's amazing that the way you answered that. And this is probably kind of asking you the same thing again. But what you were saying there about like unease, I definitely felt uneasy in the job that I had before I got sick, because I just felt so stuck in a rut. And I got sick then and I felt like I was forced to change. Now, I probably wasn't, but I felt like I'd come to a crossroads in my life where I was like, I cannot continue to do the same things that I was doing. So when I go in and I do my corporate talk, one of the most common questions I'm asked is, how do I change without a cancer diagnosis? How do I change without an earthquake in my life? And what you were saying there about you kind of in the back of your head know something needs to change, is that the answer to that question?
Yeah, but I think obviously trauma is one of the wake-up calls. But why wait for trauma? I think we just need to ask ourselves conscious questions like, is this my life? Am I happy? And I think give yourself permission. Like at the end of the day, we know what happens. So people say, well, how does this work out long term? Well, I tell you what it looks like long term. You die. I'm always amazed at how afraid of death we are. We're even afraid to have a conversation about death. And yet we all know we all die. And we're so terrified of it. And I think we're terrified of it because we won't talk about it. We won't think about it. When we can accept that we die, when we accept that we can't control when we die, then death doesn't become the issue. What becomes the issue is, what's the life I want before I die? There's an incredible book called The Five Regrets of the Dying. I would recommend anybody to read it. Death is going to happen. Don't be worrying about it. Because whatever happens, it's like the baby in the womb resisted being born. The baby in the womb probably thought, I've been here now all my life. It's very comfortable. I've all my needs met. What the hell would I want to be born for? Because it thinks it's been taken away from life, but it's been brought into life. And maybe death isn't us being taken away from life. Maybe death is being brought into a new, better life. So if we could stop worrying about death for a little while, Stop worrying about failure for a little while and start to think about life and vitality and passion. So there's a question that I ask all the time, and this is the only question I think we need at times. It's, what would love do? In any situation when you're undecided what to do, ask yourself, if I knew, so for me, when you think of life as 900 months, we sleep 300, so we 600 months. You get to my age, now you're looking at it roughly around 300 months left. So here's a question for people. If you knew you had 300 months left, or you knew you had 200 months left, and you truly loved yourself, you didn't care what other people thought about you, and you weren't afraid to fail, what would you do? Then write that down and do it. Take the first step. Life is short. Don't be waiting until the end to think, I could have, I might have, I should have. Life is a gift, and we have to embrace it and realize that somebody has given us this gift of life, not to be punished, not to be miserable, not to be average. Somebody has given us this gift of life to be extraordinary and to be happy.
I think when you ask that question, I think ultimately, and I've been on that kind of journey myself over the last couple of weeks, like writing down, what is it ultimately that I want? And it's my answer is to be present. It all comes down to that, to be present with my child, to be present with my family. I think it's something lots of people are working on at the moment. Is there any tools that you can recommend to kind of train ourselves to be present?
I think the first thing, Georgie, is the phone. I think it is the weapon of mass distraction. And while I use my phone and I use social media and it does incredible things, and I Zoom my mum and dad, and so I'm not saying they're bad, but if you're awake for 12 hours of the day, if you're awake for 16 hours of the day, at least 30 to 40% of that should be without a phone. So if you're awake for 12 hours of the day, there should be at least 4 hours where I'm not anywhere near my phone. If you can't manage that, you need to sit down and ask yourself, what am I doing? Because when you're in the phone, ask yourself, what am I looking for? Sometimes I used to see people on the dart scrolling, and I always wanted to ask them, do you mind me asking, what are you looking for? What are you actually looking in that phone looking for? Because this dart is full of incredible people with incredible stories. If you look around and you see the eyes of people, there is incredible life experience in this train, and you are completely dismissing them all, and you're staring into a phone for what? Are you looking at your own life? Are you looking at your own dreams? Are you looking at your own ambition? Are you building your knowledge of who you are? Or are you surrendering all of that and looking into something else? So ask yourself when you're scrolling, what am I actually looking for? What am I hoping to find here? So the first thing I would say is start to put the phone. So even a habit, I'm driving the car, I put the phone in the boot. When I come in the house, there's somewhere I put the phone and it's gone. It's beyond use. So you have to train yourself that. And then secondly, breathing. So for me, when I'm doing a call, every time before I come on, I take 5 deep breaths. At the end of every call, 5 deep breaths. I switch the kettle on, 5 deep breaths. So that's the second thing. Really begin to practice the real power of breath and shifting from sympathetic nervous system to parasympathetic nervous system. That's the power of the breath. Thirdly, listen to the things you are saying. If you're constantly listening to or using words like stress, nightmare, pandemic, things are chaotic, God, it's a mad day, I'm very busy, I'm stressed off my head. Well, every word you say has an emotion attached to it. And every emotion you experience fires a chemical in the body. So your words are literally changing the chemistry of your body. So your words and your emotions are changing the physiology and the chemistry of your body. That's how powerful they are. So when we start to use words like can and love, and stop using words like but and might, so we really need to start to control our language. And then secondly, or finally, it's connection. So the one thing we all want in life is connected. But the biggest and deepest connection we can is to ourselves. Can I be alone with myself? So we have to ask, firstly, why are we so distracted? And that's on the first level, because there's so many external distractions. But a more important question is, what is my internal need to be distracted? Why do I find it so hard to be by myself? And when we start to nurture and nourish a better relationship with ourselves, when we start to begin to see the mystery and the wonder and the curiosity in ourselves, we begin to realize that it is nice to spend time with myself.
When you look at diet, and I know there's, you know, people are becoming more aware that you can eat all the kale in the world forever and that won't keep you well. It's about your environment, your career, your relationship, the kind of atmosphere you live in. But when it comes to diet, how do you stay disciplined to eat well? Do you look at food in a different way to the average person? Like, do you see it as it has a role to nourish you and that's the end of it? I can't picture you sitting on the couch at night like pigging out.
I think first and foremost, life is to be enjoyed. So there's an expression that I've heard, and it's, the universe is not a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be enjoyed. So I'm going to eat food that bring joy to my life, bring energy and vitality to my life. If I sit on the couch and eat crisps all night, in the short term, it feels great, but it depletes my energy. And I wake up the next morning, I don't feel good. So I eat food that makes me feel good. And when we boil it down, the body and the mind naturally respond to good food. There is no doubting. So why would I eat food that makes me bad? Why would I eat food? So I just see life is to be enjoyed. At times I eat chocolate. At times I do eat crisps. At times I allow myself to eat with freedom and allow myself to eat food that nourishes me. But I'm also aware that after one or two or three biscuits, I don't really want any more. So I think the word diet is terrible. And the word diet, D-I-E, the first three letters mean die. So I would never say to myself, you can't eat that, Jerry. I can eat anything I want. And I'm giving myself permission to eat the things that make me happy. But I know bad food doesn't make me happy. I know an abundance of caffeine doesn't actually make me happy. It makes me anxious. So when I start to listen to my body, I respond to the food that makes me happy. The food that gives me energy to laugh and dance and jump in the sea. And I think that's for me. Don't be worrying too much about, I can't eat this. You can eat any food you want. But why are you eating that food? Now, if you're eating food because you're bored, or you're eating food because you're depressed, or you're eating food because you're anxious, then go to the root cause. Instead of trying to suppress or numb an emotion with food, allow yourself to. And I think the more we practice things like meditation and yoga, and the more we change the energy of our body, and the more we nourish that relationship with ourselves, is the less we want to be eating bad food. So it goes back to what I said. The more we see the divinity, the more we see the magic in our own self, the more we honor our own health and well-being, is the less we crave these things. You get to a stage where your body, chemically, doesn't even crave these things anymore, because you look at them and you realize there's no correlation between what's in that packet and the life I want. The gift is realizing that every day is a lifetime and every lifetime is a day. And the only way to predict the future, the only way to predict how happy you're going to be in the future, is by asking, how happy am I now? Because happiness is nothing more than the ability to see and experience the most amount of joy possible in each moment. There will always be adversity. Things will never be perfect. There will always be the uncertainty. There will always be the unknown. COVID will come, COVID will go, and something else will come. So the outer world is always changing. But meaning, passion, love doesn't exist in the outer world. It exists in the inner world. So if you're waiting for the outer world to change in order for you to be happy or to have meaning, I'm afraid you'll be a long time waiting. So in this now, in this moment, in my inner world, I have the possibility, we all have the possibility of finding meaning and purpose. And once you find meaning and purpose, and once you have the ability to experience as much joy as you can in each day, now you're living life in each moment, not defined, not worried about how long or short it's going to be, but truly grateful for each moment you get to experience.
Wow, so powerful. And Jerry, I'll just leave you with this question just about your book. It's coming out in May. I'm so excited to read it. And did you find the process difficult of having to kind of map out a book, or did you just sit down and start writing?
I spent a lot of years thinking about the book and putting it off. I wrote the book in about 2.5 weeks start to finish. While working full time and being a new dad. Yeah, I knew the book. I always had 99% of the book in my head, but I always felt there was something missing. And then late last year, it dawned on me what was missing. I became really clear and I just wrote the book then. So, but like maybe it's because I spent so many years thinking and researching this, but the book came together quite well and I'm really blessed that I have great publishers behind us. They really got behind. They give me great freedom to talk about the different areas of science, the different areas of my beliefs and my work. And it's also my own story, Georgie, and there'll be a lot in that surprise people. You'll get to meet me at 9 years old, about to commit suicide. And that's where the book begins.
Wow.
And it's my journey in trying to understand my mind, my soul, and how the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the gut and the spirit all connect. So I think there's a lot in the book, but it's a book where each chapter kind of stands alone. And I hope it's a book, I might only write one book ever. And I wanted this to be a book where people could come back to this at different times in their life. So whether you're going through a relationship breakdown, a career change, whether you're dealing with an illness, whether you're dealing with self-confidence issues, I wanted this to be a book that people could buy and they could come back to it again and again. And I'm really proud of the book I've wrote, and I'm really grateful to my wife, who inspired me to go and finally write it, and also to the Hachette, the publishers, who give me the freedom to write the book. So it's coming out. It'll be out in May, I think, and it's on pre-order already. So if anybody would like to order it, you can go to Easton's or Bookstation or Kenny's. There's a lot of books that are getting behind it, and there's great interest even in Australia and America, France, Germany. It's amazing. People have seen what's in the book, and it's amazing how excited they are. So there's already talk of it being far more than just Ireland, which is really exciting for
That's
me.
That's so exciting. And I have to say, like, you've really inspired me today to put down the phone, pick up a book, learn something. Like you said, all we have is today. So how do I want to use that time? So thank you so much for all the inspiration today. You're doing incredible work. And truly, it was an honor to interview you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Not at all. But I'd say to you, Georgie, too, I feel I know you because my wife speaks so highly about you. You have inspired her on so many levels. And because you help her change her energy, I've benefited from that. So like I talked about, you probably don't realize that you've impacted me in so many ways. And I got to listen to you speak in the session that Miriam did in December. And I think you're inspirational. So everybody is just doing their best and everybody is adding something. So I'm adding an inch, you're adding an inch. And I think it's by people having these conversations. So I think the work I do is the work I do, but the work you do is equally as inspirational. And I think we're all adding to a great awakening of consciousness, particularly here in Ireland, a new way of understanding what is the human being, what is the mind and what is the spirit. So I'd like to thank you as well.
Thank you so much. I'm blown away. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Vichy. If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. If you want to learn more about my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford or head over to my website, thegoodglow.ie.